Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings and heavenly places in Christ." And notice I put the emphasis on in Christ. And we'll explain more about that in a moment. 2 Timothy 2:10 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." So are there any spiritual blessings outside of Christ? Notice he said that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. There aren't any spiritual blessings that are outside of Christ. And so Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." So does baptism put us into Christ? You know, over here in the diagram up there on the left, we're in the world. We're separated from the spiritual blessings. We gain the spiritual blessings when we are baptized. And so how do you get from the world to where all spiritual blessings are? It's through baptism. Then Matthew 16:18-19 tells us and says, "I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now it's interesting, those words, bind and loose, they are in the aorist tense, which is a past tense. And so the idea is whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven. And that's what the Greek literal translation would be. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. And so, but notice here, he says, "I will build my church and I will give thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven." He's talking about the same thing. The church and the kingdom are one and the same. Ephesians 1:22-23 says, "He hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." So the church and the kingdom and the body are all the same. And so what is the meaning of the church and the body in this context? It means the same thing. Now, did Christ promise to build more than one church? Matthew 16:18, very clear. My church, if he was going to build more than one church, he would have said, "My churches." And so he built one church. And so when he said, "It's my church," did he mean that it belonged to him? Now, who does the church belong to? It belongs to Christ. And so since the church he built belongs to him, should it wear his name? And why shouldn't it? Acts 2:47 is another verse we'd look at. Says, talking about the early Christians, that they were praising God and having favor with all the people. And it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved," or as another translation puts it, those that were being saved were added to the church. And so will the Lord add you to his church when you obey his plan of salvation? It's the Lord who adds. We're not saved and then go and choose and join whatever church we feel like joining. When we are obedient to the gospel, the Lord adds us to his church. And so at this point, I would go with what I call the gingerbread man illustration. And I would pull out a piece of paper and I would draw something a lot like this. And try to make it a little neater than that. Of course, you can't see it very well from there. And so I kind of put it on the PowerPoint in a little different way. And so I would kind of, this is kind of basically the order that I will go through it with a person. This wasn't in our book, but this is just something that I've picked up through the years that I think is a helpful way to help people understand the nature of the church and how to get into the church. And so we begin, I draw the little body there and say we've got the church as a body. Again, Ephesians 1:22-23 tells us that You know, Christ is the head over all things of the church, which is his body. And so we see that the church and the body are the same thing. Ephesians 5:23 says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. And so these verses tell us that the body and the church are the same thing. Matthew 16:18, again, it's called the church. I will build my church. The Lord added to the church daily such as were being saved. Acts 2:47. The kingdom also. Matthew 16:19. Also, Colossians 1:13 says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." And then it is also referred to as the house of God or the household of God. 1 Timothy 3:15, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." So the church and the house of God, again, are the same thing. Ephesians 2:19 says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God." And so these four terms are found a number of times in the Bible referring to the same body, the same church. And so how many bodies does Christ have is the next question. Ephesians 4:4-5 says, "There is one body and one spirit, even as you're called, and one hope you're calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism." So how many bodies does Christ have? How many bodies do you have? You've just got one body, and I submit to you that Christ also just has one body. How many heads does a body have? Ephesians 5:23 again tells us that he is the head over all things to the church. Colossians 1:18 says he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. So there's one Christ. How many bodies or how many heads does a body have? Well, most of our bodies only have one head. Some people, I think, have two heads, but anyway, no. Never mind. But our body has one head. And so there's one Christ, there's one head, there's one body, there's one church. And so it's very important that we understand that. And then in the body of Christ, we find that in Christ are all spiritual blessings. Ephesians 1:3 says, "Blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Are there any spiritual blessings outside of Christ? John 14:6 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me." There are no other spiritual blessings that are not in Christ. All spiritual blessings are in Christ. And so by all spiritual blessings, what spiritual blessings are there? There is salvation. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 10 says, "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus." Acts 4:12 says, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So salvation is found in Christ. Redemption is found in Christ, only in Christ. Sanctification, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 2. Triumph is found in only in Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, "Now thanks be to God which causes us, always causes us to triumph in Christ." Righteousness is found in Christ. Liberty, Galatians 2:4, says that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. And so we have liberty in Christ, but we're not to use liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but rather by love to serve one another. Righteousness, liberty, love. 1 Timothy 1:14, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." Spiritual life is found, life which is in Christ Jesus, 2 Timothy 1:1. Grace, 2 Timothy 2:1 says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." And then there is no condemnation. Romans 8:1, to them which are in Christ Jesus. So these are just some of the spiritual blessings that the Bible teaches us are in Christ. There are no spiritual blessings outside of Christ. And then as we look before, the saved were added to the church by the Lord. Remember, Peter concluded his sermon, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." He continued on, and he said, it says in verse 41, that they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And then verse 47 talks about how the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so the saved are added to the church by the Lord. All spiritual blessings are there. How, though? How are we added to the body? How do I get into Christ? That's the real question. Baptism puts me into Christ. Again, Galatians 3:27, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. So baptism puts me into Christ. Outside of Christ, there are no spiritual blessings. Outside of Christ, one is lost. When one is added to the body of Christ, one is then saved. Baptism is what does that. Baptism, again, is that culminating act that results in salvation. All the steps leading up to baptism are vitally important. You can't leave any of those things out. But baptism is what makes the transition from me being outside of Christ to being in Christ. And so then I would draw this little stairway to heaven kind of idea here. The steps of salvation. And we'll draw it out here. Outside of Christ, one is lost. One asks the question, what must I do to be saved? Well, we have the steps of salvation. We hear the gospel, Romans 10:17. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We believe the gospel. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, Hebrews 11:6. John 8:24, Jesus said simply, if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. And so we must believe. That's very important. But we also must repent. Again, Luke 13:3, except you repent, you shall surely die, or you shall die in your sins. Well, we've got to repent and confess. Again, confession of Christ is essential. Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. And then I must be baptized. In order to be saved, Mark 16:16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Of course, if we don't believe, we're already lost. We're already condemned. And so repent, confess, and be baptized. In Acts 22:16 again, it is to wash away our sins. So this is how one gets into Christ. This is how one goes from being lost to being saved. And so then as a Christian, one needs to continue to be faithful. Remember Romans 6:3 and 4 again says, so many of us as we're baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. Therefore we're buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up by the dead, or from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. Now walking in newness of life is the same thing as fellowship with God. We've got to maintain fellowship with God. Adam and Eve in the garden, they walked with God in the garden daily. They had fellowship with God. Sin separated them from that fellowship. They were cast out of the garden. And outside of Christ, we are out of the garden. We're like Adam and Eve when they were cast out. That fellowship was broken with God. Christ came, he died on the cross to restore that fellowship, to reconcile man back to God. And so when we, as a Christian, walk in newness of life, we're walking in fellowship with God. It's important to know that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. 1 John 1:5, God is light. the Christian must walk in the light in order to maintain that fellowship with God. 1 John 1, 6 and 7 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. We walk in darkness, we're not walking with God, because God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. Verse 5 again. And so if we walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And so when we are added to the body of Christ, we walk in the newness of life. We come out of that grave, that watery grave of baptism. We come out a new creature in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17 tells us we must be a new creature. We must walk in a newness of life. We must maintain fellowship with God by walking in the light. And if we do that throughout our life, then the promise that Christ gives in Revelation 2 and verse 10, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life, is ours. We will gain that crown of life when we live out our life as a faithful child of God. It says, be faithful unto death. And that really implies that we've got to be faithful unto the point of death. Even if we're going to be killed if we don't, or if we deny, you know, unless we deny Christ. He said, be faithful unto death, even to that extreme, and I will give thee a crown of life. And so that's how one becomes a member of the church, of the body of Christ, how one is added to that body. Next Sunday evening, we'll look at some identifying characteristics. This is actually lesson 3 of that Bible study, back to the Bible. And so we'll look at some characteristics, how that we know whether or not the church that we are a part of is the same church that Jesus died to build. And so that's what we'll look at next week. But here, if you've read through this with me, and if you have seen this, and if you recognize that you haven't done these things, you have not confessed that you believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, repented of your sins and been baptized to wash away your sins, we urge you tonight to do so. To put on Christ in baptism. If you're here tonight and you haven't been walking in the light as He is in the light, we urge you to come back to Him. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins if we will confess our sins to Him in prayer. If you're here today and you're subject to the invitation in any way, would you please come to the front as together we stand and sing the song of encouragement.